Hello, my friends, and welcome back for this week's episode of the Pirkei Avos podcast. This is Rabbi Shlomo Kohn. I hope you are well. For this week, we continue Chapter 3, Mishnahs 7 and 8. Paragimel, Mishnahs Zion and Ches. Now, and as always, if you have any questions or comments or would like to reach out, please feel free to send me an email at Rabbi Shlomo Kohn, KOHN, at gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Mishnah Zion begins, Rabbi Chalafta ben Doisa ish Kfar Chananya Omer. Rabbi Chananya ben Doisa of Kfar Chananya says, Asara sheyoishim v'oiskim b'Torah. If 10 people sit and study Torah, Shechina shruya b'neihem. The Shechina, the divine presence, sits between them. Shenemar, as we know in the verses, Elokim nitza ba'adas kel. As it says in Psalms and Tehillim, God stands in the assembly of God. Uminayin afilu chamisha. And how do we know that even five people that sit and study Torah, that the Shechina, the divine presence, is resting with them? Shenemar va'agudosoi al eretz yisadai. That it says in Amos, and he established his bundle upon earth. Uminayin afilu shleisha. And how do we know even three? Shenemar, as it says, bekerev Elokim yishpot. For it says, in the midst of judges he shall judge. It's a verse in Psalms. And how do we know even two? If two people are learning, the Shechina is with them as well. Divine presence is with them. Shenemar, as it says, Oz nidabru yirei Hashem ish el reyehu vayakshiv Hashem vayishma. For it said, then those who fear Hashem spoke to one another, and Hashem listened and heard, from the verse in Malachi. And the Mishnah finishes, Uminayin afilu echot. How do we know if that one person is sitting and studying Torah, the Shechina is with him? Shenemar, as it says, Bechol makom asher azkir shmi avoy elecha uverachticha. For it said, in every place where I cause my name to be mentioned, I will come to you and bless you. So we have a teaching here from Rabbi Chalafta, which is coming to reiterate to us how the Shechina, the divine presence, is with a person who's studying Torah. And it's not just 10, not just 5, not just 3, not just 2, but even one person sitting and studying Torah, they're sitting with the divine presence. Now, just to go through the numbers here a little bit, this idea of the Shechina sitting with a person, and this concept of 10 and 5, 3, 2, 1. The first thing we need to know is that when we sit with a group of people, and this is the concept of a minyan as well, you know, why do we daven with a minyan? We know in Judaism, you know, although it's not necessarily a obligation, I mean, it could be obligation in some circumstances, but as far as what a person needs to do on a daily basis, they don't have to daven with a minyan. Meaning if there's a minyan in the city, it could be that person has a responsibility to go to minyan, where if it's near them, a certain distance, within a certain distance, or they're able to. But a person, in order to fulfill the requirement of davening, does not have to daven with a minyan. But yet we see it stressed in many places, the importance of davening with a minyan. And just to give a little clarity here, we know that a minyan is 10 people. 10 men, sorry. 10 men makes a minyan. The question I want to ask is, why is it so important? Why is it stressed so much, this concept of a minyan, to daven with a minyan? What do we gain by davening together with 10 men? Right? How does that make the prayer better? How does it make it stronger? And there's different explanations that are given. One of them that I want to focus on today will help us get clarity in our Mishnah is that when we daven, we're not perfect people. I think that's a given. Nobody's perfect. But we come to Hashem, we pray, we pour our hearts out, hopefully. But sometimes our prayer could be held back by certain deficiencies that we have. Certain things that maybe we're not up to par with. But when we dive in with a minion, there's other people there, so the prayers come up together to heaven. And even though our prayer is theoretically lacking in a certain area, our friend who's to the right of us or to the left of us, he has that deficiency. That's actually his strong point. So he's making up for me. And then this friend to the right of me, who he's lacking in something as well, the next fellow who's in the row in front of him makes up for him. And the fellow who's in front of him makes up for the deficiency and whatever lacking of that's the guy behind him. And in doing so, the prayers that come up to heaven are more of a complete prayer because we're all sort of compensating and completing one another. That's why it's so stressed so much, the importance of davening with a minyan, because although, like we said, we know that no prayer goes unanswered, the efficacy of a prayer could be less potent if we're by ourselves. But if we daven with a minyan where there's 10 other people, and all the more so a bigger minyan where it's more than 10, 100, 1,000, 10,000, so then the prayers that we daven become more powerful and more effective because whatever we're lacking, our friends hopefully will make up for us. And I think this idea a little bit could be transferred to our Mishnah because when we're learning Torah, or when we're even just sitting together, the Shekhinah rests. And the more people that we're together with, the more, intense it is. There's a concept, Beroiv Am Hadras Melach, that, when you come to greet a king, you do it with the biggest amount of people possible. And there's many benefits when you do things with a group of people together. And I remember a Rebbe of mine, he was saying that one time, he was going to a wedding. And there was the yeshiva, I guess. He was part of a yeshiva. And the yeshiva was going to a wedding. And it seemed that the Rosh Yeshiva was going in a car with a few of his students. And the rest of the yeshiva went on a bus. And it seems like along the way, the Rosh Yeshiva with his few students in the car got into a car accident and they're delayed from going to the wedding. And if I remember the story correctly, I believe he told his students, Zerv Scheinberg, he said, the reason why we got into a car accident and they didn't is because Beroiv Am Hadras Melach, when there's more people, when you're with the congregation, or when you're with, when you're with the community, so then you hopefully, there's less of a chance of bad things happening to you. This idea, I think it's aside from the clarity and, what we get when we study together with other people, there's certain benefits that we also get when we're coming to study with the congregation, with the community. And some people might ask, like, why is it necessary for me to study in shul? I could just study in my house. And true, it is important to study in your house, that your family should see you learning Torah. But at the same time, it's also important that everyone comes to study together as a unit because, this concept of Beroiv Am Hadras Melach, that it's more honorable for Hashem, it brings more honor to God, the Shekhinah rests in a greater way. And aside from that, it makes a certain feeling, a certain, I shouldn't say pressure, but like a positive peer pressure, that people see everyone else learning and they see this commotion when they walk into a synagogue and it's bustling with Torah study. It pushes you to go beyond your limitations a little bit more, to be into it a little bit more, to go to a higher level. And it brings out hopefully the highest level of learning in you, and also maybe the highest level of prayer when you pray in a place where there's more people around, there's someone else looking. It's not even the looking, but it's this, you're in you're enveloped in an environment where everyone's just studying, and it brings about this certain feeling of elevation. I think it's, you know, this idea a little bit. And obviously the divine presence of Shekhinah rests, and it rests in a greater way. The more people that are there, the greater, in a greater way, it rests upon us. Now, as we go through the Mishnah is clear to us that it's not just in groups of 10 is it necessary to have the Shekhinah rest. But even in 5, even in 3, even 2, and even 1. And the Tana of the Mishnah brings down proofs from Psukim, from verses throughout the Torah, to bring across this point. And the idea that I believe is being conveyed is that there's a flip side to this. Sometimes we might think that, you know, Judaism is in the shul, is in the Beis Medrash, is in the study hall, but my house, God is not there. It's separate. You know, there's this misconception, unfortunately, that sometimes there's a separation. That there's the Judaism is in the synagogue, is in the places of worship. Maybe they'll say the Judaism is by the cemetery, or whatever people will say sometimes, but they'll say it's like separation. And people might say, oh, okay, I could do these things. When I go to shul, I'll be Jewish. When I go to the study, I'll learn. So the author of our Mishnah is telling us that there's really no separation. You could have groups of 5, 3, 2, even when 2 people learn with each other, and even 1 person. You know, thinking of myself, you know, I've been able to study with groups of people, bigger groups, smaller groups. Have many chavrusas, study partners. And one thing I like to try to do is that if I'm not able to learn with somebody in the shul for whatever reason, so I'll try to learn with them in my house. And there's countless people that I've studied with over the years that have come to my house to study with me, to learn Torah with me. And I felt like the message was a powerful one that, you know, that it's not just about learning in shul. It's not like if you can't learn, no, you try to make it work wherever you are. If you're home and you could study, great, make it happen. And even during COVID, I remember I had a chavrusa, I had a study partner that we learned on the phone for a long time. And then after things, I guess, got a little calmer, we decided to start meeting by my house outside. He was comfortable with that. And we met outside. We would study outside every Wednesday. And we did this for a little while till we were able to get back into the synagogue. But the point is that it's not just in the great yeshivas and the big study halls that we should learn in groups of people. That's great. But it's also in our own home, even by ourselves. And that's what the Mishnah is telling us. Even in groups of 1, even by ourselves, when we study, the Shekhinah is with us. The second Mishnah I want to discuss with you tonight is Mishnah Ches, Mishnah 8. Rabbi Elazar Ish Bartusa Emer, Hein Loi Mishaloi, says, Rabbi Elazar of Bartusa says, give him from his own, Sha'ata V'shalach Shaloi, for you and your possessions are his. V'chein B'David Hu Emer, and similarly by David it said, Ki Mimcha Akol Miyodecho Nosnu Lach, for everything is from you, and from your own hand, we have given you. Very beautiful thought in this Mishnah, which can really have ramifications in all areas of our life. What is Rabbi Elazar ben Ish Bartusa saying? He's saying this. Give him from his own, for you and your possessions are his. Again, give him from his own, for you and your possessions are his. God has given us blessing in our life. Now, there's many ways that this blessing can manifest itself. Let's take the first one. Money. God gives us money. What do we do with that money? So hopefully we do good things with it. Support our family, to buy food for ourselves, we clothe ourselves. You know, we have a few extra bucks, maybe we invest it here and there, right? Try to do good things for ourselves, to support ourselves, sustain ourselves for our family. But Rabbi Elazar Ish Bartusa is telling us something else. You know, when it comes to giving charity, do we feel like who's doing who the favor? Are we doing the favor to the guy who's asking us for money, to the organization? You know, we're giving some of our money to them. We're really good. Give us a pat in the back right there. Right? Or is there another way of looking at it? Is the guy who's accepting the money really doing us a favor? That's number one. But number two, which the author of the Mishnah is bringing out, is when we're giving the money away, whose money are we really giving away? Who owns that money? Who gave you that money? And the answer to that is that Hashem gave you the money. Give us the money. And why did he give us the money? Obviously, he wants us to live, but he wants us to do good things with it as well, to give tzedakah, to do mitzvos with it. And, you know, if we look at it in this way, we look at the money that we have, that it's not our money. Rather, we're like, you know, we're entrusted with it to do good things. You know, just like a person who's a money manager, a hedge fund manager. You invest in a mutual fund. So there's millions, billions of dollars in this fund that people buy into. You buy a mutual fund, right? I sound like a stock expert over here. You buy into a mutual fund, and there's a money manager, a person who's in charge of that fund, billions of dollars it could be. And it's his responsibility to invest that money to make money for you, for us, the shareholders. But does he think for one moment that the money in that account, billions of dollars, is his money? No, not even for one moment. Because if he does, he'll be arrested, right? He touches that money, it's not his. He knows it's not his. It's his responsibility to invest it, but he knows it's not his money. And in a way, the money that we get, not in a way, I mean, the money that we get, it's the same thing. Hashem gives us the money. He gives us, and more than that, he gives it out to us to use, but he expects us to use it in the right way. That's for money. Let's take this another place where we get to bring out this teaching. Our talents, our abilities. You know, look how I'm saying it. Our talents, our abilities. You know, when we look at the things that we're good at, the things that we take pride in, how do we take pride in that? Do we take pride in the talents that we have, the achievements that we have? Are they our achievements? Is it, you know, the abilities that we have, are they our abilities? Are the things that we're good at, are we take pride that the things that we're good at? Or do we recognize that these things are gifts from Hashem, and we should keep that in mind, that God gave us, he gave us these abilities to use it to bring about kvod shamayim, to bring an honor for his name. That he didn't just give it to us that we could take pride in what we do and in the things that we do. He gives us something. He gives us a talent. He didn't give it to us so we just take pride in it. He gave you talents. He gave us talents. He gave us abilities. So we should use it in our service to serve him, to bring out the sanctification of God's name. That's another way we have to think about our abilities. Do we look at ourselves as just, this is what I do and this is what I'm good at? Or we say, this is the talents that Hashem gave me. This is the ability that Hashem gave me to do. And therefore, I need to find ways where I could bring about sanctification of God's name through these abilities, that I could make a Kiddush Hashem, that I could use it in my divine service to Hashem, use the abilities that I have to serve Hashem, to serve God. That's another way of this teaching could be manifest itself. Another example, a third way, and a final way, which I think I'm going to close with, is this idea of time. God is the one who gives us time. And obviously, certain parts of the time that we have to use for the different responsibilities that we have in our lives. Obviously, we have to take care of ourselves. We have to, you know, physically, emotionally, all these, we have to make a living. We have to feed ourselves. We have to feed our family. We need to spend time with our family. But people, we all have free time. We all have free time. And the question is, what do we do with our free time? Do we just blow our free time? Or do we try to use it for something constructive? That's what it means here. Ten loy mishaloi. Give some. Hashem doesn't say give everything. He doesn't say give all your money. He's very nice. He gives us all the money. And he doesn't say give everything back. He says, give me some of your money, right? With a certain, you know, we've talked about this in the past. There's certain obligations that we have in regards to charity. You know, for different people, it could be different things. But the point is that there's different obligations. And even for our traits, we should try to use it in a positive way. Hashem's not saying give everything. He's saying give some of your time. Are you giving some of your time back to me? Are you using some of your free time for learning, for mitzvos, for spiritual development? That's what this another manifestation of this Mishnah is, that it can mean many different meanings in our lives, that all the goodness that Hashem has given us, we have to have that recognition that it's not ours, that God gave it to us, and therefore we should at least have the goodness to give some of it back to Him, whether it be money, whether it be using our abilities, or whether it be our time to dedicate ourselves to serving Hashem. So with that, I'm going to finish for today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed. If you have any questions, comments, or like to reach out, please feel free to send me an email at rabbishlomokon@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Have a great day.